Dan Riccio and Israel Fair here on Sportsnet 650. And joining us now is our triple threat. You see him on television. You find his work at sportsnet.ca, and you hear him right here on Sportsnet 650 in McIntyre. And his contract negotiations about as strenuous as the CBA negotiations. Isn't that right, Ian?
Well, I don't know how to respond to that.
That's fair.
Luckily, I'm not a free agent for a little while yet.
Right.
But unfortunately, I do not have a no trade clause. I do not have a no movement clause. So ask me at the end of it. But I'm very happy. I'm impressed about the depth of Sportsnet 650. First time I've been on with Israel.
Yeah.
We clearly have built some depth in our lineup.
We are attempting to do so. It's still a work in progress. You know, he's Adam Gaudette. He's getting called up and down,
a few healthy scratches, some resets, all that good stuff.
If he's Adam Gaudette, how come he's not with better players?
I've been saying the same thing, Ian, over and over and over again. Last week I was with Walker. This week I'm with Reach. It's all over the map.
Over the lineup. How are you supposed to get comfortable in one spot? Okay.
Last time I call you the triple threat, I'm at. I'll say that much.
No, please do, because it always conjures for me Andre Dawson, who was my favorite ball player growing up, the triple threat for the Montreal Expos. Now I have to explain who Andre Dawson was and who the Montreal Expos were, but anyways.
We are the purveyors of the Larry Walker should get in the Hall of Fame stat of the day.
Absolutely.
So our listenership, I'd like to think at least, knows a little bit about the Expos, and I know Izzy here was a big Expos guy as well. So we're all about those Expos. It's Dan Riccio and Israel Fair here on Reach Deep Sports at 650, joined by Ian McIntyre. So we've been asking our listeners today what they want to see from the Canucks second half, and most of them are actually responding that they'd like to see Edler or Tanev get traded. I don't know if that's exactly what will end up happening, but it's certainly going to be probably maybe the biggest topic with this team over the next 6 weeks, Ian.
Yeah, I suppose so. Any parameters on those trades or just traded, period?
Just traded.
Okay. Get rid of them, eh? Yeah, top two defensemen?
They want the prospects and the picks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the Canucks hockey ops are meeting this week, and they'll be talking about Edler for sure. There's not as much urgency on Tanev, but he's, in the end, I think in a way, he's probably the more likely of the two to be traded. And I'm not predicting in the next 6 weeks, but... You know, Alex Edler has talked so often about how he wants to stay in Vancouver and spend his career with the Canucks. He's basically a transplanted Vancouverite now. This is home for him. And he still happens to be their best defenseman. And, by the way, they don't have a replacement for him waiting. So if you can trade Alex Edler and get something good... And off the top of my head, I can't say what's good, but it's got to be better than, say, a second-round pick. That's terrific. But it's only terrific if he's back on July 1st, because
right.
Without Edler, this team is worse on defense next season than it is this season. And already this season, this is the area that moving forward, the team has to improve. You know, they need to get more good defensemen, not fewer of them.
Now, with Edler, and I've kind of pondered this all week as this conversation has kind of grown, IMAC, has he long been, you know, one of the more underrated Canucks defensemen in franchise history?
Well, he's always I think, been a little bit underrated because he was so good so young at such a young age in the NHL. That it was easy to project him to be even better than what he turned out to be. And he's been, and we'll see by the time he's done, he may leave regarded as the best defenseman in franchise history. And he certainly is going to have some longevity records and scoring totals in his favor in that regard. But I think for a few years, it was always the question of, is there more? As good as he is, could he be better? And at times there were glimpses, you know, in the playoffs when he played such a physical game and there was a whole new dynamic to him. Not that he doesn't play physically during the regular season, but it was at another level. And I think at times maybe Alex Edler was even managing his minutes because he played so much, and the Canucks for the middle of his career were such a strong team. You knew that they were going to the playoffs, and they were trying to have long runs. I think they went to the second round three times in 3 years. And so, you know, for whatever reason, he never became that dominating, you know, Norris Trophy ballot type defenseman. But what I see in the last couple of years is that he's been able to maintain his game at a very high level. It's not up and down like it used to be. The biggest problem for him is his health. And when he's been healthy, he's been very good night after night after night. And he's not in anybody's Norris Trophy conversation, but he is their best defenseman. And he does, you know, plays in all situations, does a lot of things well. And again, when you're looking at Alex Edler as an asset, as you do with any asset, it's not just about what are you going to gain in the transaction, but what are you going to lose from your lineup. And so you may gain somebody who helps you in 3 or 4 years, but you're with Alex Edler because they have nobody like that waiting in Utica or in Europe or anywhere else. I mean, Quinn Hughes is going to be fabulous, and Quinn Hughes might lead the team in ice time next season, but he's among defensemen, but he's such a different player from Alex Edler. I just don't see how the Canucks can go backwards. This season, they've, in terms of their competitiveness, this season, they've been better than most people thought. Certainly, they've been better than I thought they would be. We'll see what happens between now and the trade deadline, because that's still a long way to go. Like, look at the Canucks in November, look at the Canucks in December. Things change in a hurry in the NHL and in pro sports. So let's see where the Canucks are near the end of February, but it looks like they're staying in the fight. And having had this kind of season, I don't know how you can make a move knowing that it may make your team weaker next year. And so that's the rub with Alex Edler. If you're going to trade him, great, but you better be sure he's back here on July 1st.
Well, to that point, Ian, and as the Canucks have kind of turned it around here in December and into the new year, a big part of that has been that Edler's been healthy and Tanev's been healthy, and they're playing their best hockey of the season. As much as we talk about tanking and draft picks and prospects in the market because people are wanting this team to rebuild and build a team that's able to compete for a Stanley Cup again, what can being competitive in the second half and down the stretch do for the young players on this roster?
Sorry, I just lost you there just at the end, Izzy. Just repeat the last part of your question.
Yeah, just in terms of being competitive down the stretch and in the second half, what does that do for the young core that the Canucks have built?
Well, I mean, these guys are so enthusiastic, these core of young players. And you know, the three forwards, when we say young players, it's hard not to think specifically of Horvat and Besser and Pettersson.
For sure.
And how hard those guys play every night, how earnest they are in their approach to the game, believing that their best effort makes the team better, and that's the whole point of playing the game, is that the team gets better. If you have a good second half, that just continues to fuel that culture, that idea that the team is on an upswing. And you know, getting back to Edler, because there's going to be a lot of things that are, you know, this is a many tentacled issue with ramifications for the Canucks. I don't know how, if you're going to trade him, how do you go to Elias Pettersson, Brock Besser, who've, you know, played their asses off for this team, and tell them, look, you know, that's great how hard you guys are playing and trying to win every night, but we're making the team worse in the short term, so that 3 or 4 years from now, maybe we'll have something better to show for Alex Edler. I just don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that with those guys, with how hard they've played, how well they've played. and how they, as much as anyone, have pushed this team forward. So I think it's important. You know, Travis Green has talked several times about how much easier it is to sell the idea about the culture and playing the right way when you're having results. So in that respect, I think it's very important for this team that they do remain competitive right through the season, try to win as many games as they can, try to keep that energy up and that belief that they're building in themselves. And if they do all that, these young guys should be even better next year.
What are you looking forward to most here in the second half, Ian?
Oh, that's a very good question. Probably covering a whole pile of practices in January would not be at the top of the list. You know, Elias Pettersson is the best rookie they've ever had. You know, I covered Pavel Bure as a rookie, and one of the key differences is that team that Pavel Bure came into was already a pretty good club. They'd started that season well, and they were going to go on to set records for the franchise at that time. And so I'm not saying what Pavel did was a bonus, because he was a very important part and very quickly became a key component to them. But what Elias Pettersson has been able to do on a team that most people figured was going to be hard-pressed to match the points they had last season, probably finish in the 60s at the bottom of the standings again, what he has been able to do in terms of pushing the team forward and making the players around him better and taking what was expected to be a poor team and making them at least a competitive team, I think is remarkable. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see, as he gets more and more attention from the media, from the public, and most importantly from other players on other teams, is he actually going to be able to maintain what he has done in the first half? Is he going to be able to continue to do that in the second half? Might he even be better? You know, could he be actually more productive in the second half than he was in the first? I don't rule that out. We saw last year, you know, Brock Besser roared through until Christmas. And then, I'm not going to say hit the wall, because he was still a good player for them, still productive to the time that he was injured. But his second half wasn't like the first half. And the theory was, of course, that he had surprised a lot of teams the first half, and everyone was more ready to play him in the second half. Well, teams have been ready to play Elias Pettersson since that season-opening game against Calgary, where he scored on the 2-on-1, and then next game scored a couple of times on the road. Teams have been ready for him, and it hasn't really stopped him. Yeah, he's had lulls where he's been less productive than at other points, but he was their best player on that road trip, and he's a guy who has a chance to make a difference every night he plays. And when you have a player like that, and I've mentioned two, well, that's over nearly three decades now. When you have a player like that, you just cherish it, enjoy it, and hope to be along for the ride.
Well, according to some metrics, he is among the most valuable players in the NHL. And IMAC, you are certainly one of the most valuable members of the team here at Sportsnet. So we appreciate your time as always.
Just a small part of the depth.
That's all. Thanks, IMAC.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ian.
There he is, Ian MacIntyre. Get him on Twitter, @IMAC Sportsnet.